Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus is challenged to explain what is involved in obeying the greatest commandment. Jesus tells a parable rich in surprises. Those expected to show pity display hard hearts, while the lowly give and receive unexpected and lavish mercy. I begin reading at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged up his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Did y'all hear the story I read just a little bit a while ago? It's called The Story of the Good Samaritan. Now, this morning I want to tell it to you in just a little bit different way. There was a girl by the name of Audrey, and her mom sent her to the store to go pick up some stuff that she needed to bake a cake. So Audrey was heading towards the store, and there on the sidewalk, some mean kids stopped her. And they started hitting her, and they took away all of her money that her mom had given her to buy the groceries. They pushed her down, and as she fell, she broke her leg as she went down. And the kids all ran off. All the mean kids then ran off. And so she was there on the sidewalk. She was in pain, and she was hurting, and there was nobody else around. But then she could see somebody else walking toward her, and she noticed, she recognized him. He was the pastor of their church. And he was coming closer, and she was saying, "Help me, I hurt, I've broken my leg. Some mean kids have taken all my money, and they've beaten me up." And the pastor was still a ways away, and he recognized her, but the pastor couldn't stop. He said, he was thinking, "I've got a funeral I've got to get to." And so what he did is he crossed across the street and started walking on the other sidewalk. And he passed her by. He didn't even help. Well, she was very much disappointed, and she was hurting. Her leg was hurting very badly. And she saw someone else coming. And it was somebody else she knew very well, too, because it was the choir director. The choir director was coming. She shouted out, "Help me. Some kids have beaten me up and taken all my money, and they pushed me down and broke my leg. Help me." He, too, was in a hurry. He had choir practice that night, and he had to pick up some choir music, and the store was about to close. So he had to get to the store right quick to go pick up that choir music. And so he too went to the other side of the street and walked on down to the store to get music. A little while later, somebody else was coming, and she noticed who this was, and he was a man who didn't have a very nice reputation in town. He was grumpy a lot of times. He was mean. And she knew certainly he wasn't going to help. If anything, he would hurt her more. And so she didn't even cry out for help. But that man saw her, and he came over close, and he looked at her, and he saw that she was hurt. And so he called an ambulance right quick, and he stayed there with her to help her so that she wouldn't be so lonely and that she wouldn't hurt so bad. And he rode into the ambulance to the hospital with her. And when they got to the hospital, he called her parents to make sure that her parents knew what was happening and so that they could get down there. And then he paid the hospital bill, too, to take care of her leg. Now, which one do you think was a friend to Audrey? The grumpy one was actually the friend, and that was the big surprise. In our story today, too, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and it's a surprise. It's full of surprises. God is always full of surprises for us, and we can be full of surprises for other people, too. And we can help, even when they don't expect our help from them. Okay, let us pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who always stops and helps us. Help us, too, to follow in his example and be a friend and good neighbor to all people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, now go sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A Good Samaritan. We know what that phrase means. We've heard this story a number of different times. You could probably recite it. You could probably tell it yourselves. And you understand the phrase, a Good Samaritan. It's a person who helps a stranger or goes out of their way to help somebody else, to make that effort to make sure that they are a friend or that they give assistance when assistance is needed. And actually, it's not probably not only Christians that know this story. Many other people know that phrase, a Good Samaritan. Many of the states have passed laws, and they call them the Good Samaritan laws. They are to protect people who offer aid in particular situations, in those times when help is needed and there is no professional help around. And those laws are set up to protect the people who offer help. For instance, if you're giving CPR to somebody and you happen to crack a rib, it would protect you from lawsuits. And so people know that phrase, a Good Samaritan. But for the listeners, for the first time, as they listened to Jesus talking of this story, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. A Good Samaritan, that's a contradiction of terms. Good and Samaritan just simply don't go together. And there's a shock value in these parables of Jesus that he talks about. And it gets people to listen, to understand, or to think in different ways of what is the kingdom of God and what is God calling us to do. For instance, in the parable of that one parable where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, where the woman puts yeast into the bread and the bread rises. He compares that to the kingdom of God. Now, for the ancient Hebrew people, they actually thought that yeast was evil, that it had some kind of magical properties and it must be evil. And so it was a shock when Jesus talked about yeast, comparing it to the kingdom of God. Their jaws would have dropped. What is Jesus talking about, this evil substance going into the good bread? Or another parable, one that you know very well, the prodigal son. If you remember at the end of the story, when the son finally comes home, the father is there waiting, longing for his lost son to come home. And finally, The son does come up close enough where the father sees him and recognizes him, and the father is overwhelmed with joy, and he goes running to meet that son. Well, there is shock in that as well then too. This father is a very wealthy person. He has property, he has livestock, he has servants, and as a result, he would also have it talks about rings on his fingers, and he would also have very long robes on. So in order for that father to run and greet his son, meant he had to hike up his robes up to his knees and take off down the road. And it was scandalous. It would be like a famous person running down the road in their underwear. If nothing else, it got laughs from people to see this rich, wealthy boss running down the road with his skirts hiked up. There was shock in these parables. Today, too, in this parable of the Good Samaritan, there is shock that turns things around and make people's jaws drop as they hear this story. For us who have heard this story many times, there doesn't seem to be anything shocking in here. But as we look at this story, you can see that things are just completely turned around and flipped around from what people normally would expect to happen. It starts out that there's a lawyer, a young lawyer who wants to make his mark, who is trying to test Jesus or trying to turn things around on Jesus because Jesus has no credentials. How is he able to teach? Where does he get his knowledge? He didn't study under a famous rabbi. He has no diploma. What gives him the right to teach and to preach to people? And so this lawyer tries to discredit him. The lawyer, in the sense, is not like a lawyer in our day and time. The lawyer was one who knew the law, the books of the Bible. One who had studied the books of Moses, who knew the law frontward and backward, and then also all the other codes and laws that were also placed within their religion. Someone who is very sharp, someone who knows what's going on. But Jesus is able to turn things around on him. He's able to spin it around. Because the lawyer asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it ends up then that Jesus is the one who starts to ask the questions. He turns it around on that lawyer. And he says, what does the law say? And the lawyer answers, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered right. Go and do that. And the lawyer stops and he scratches his head and he thinks, now how did this happen? I came to test Jesus, and it's Jesus now who seems to be the teacher. And so he wants to justify himself. He wants to make this right. He wants to take control once again over Jesus. And so he asked him, all right then, who is my neighbor? And that's where Jesus starts with the story of the Good Samaritan. Now in this story, as you know, a man was walking on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it was a notorious road. It had a very terrible reputation. It was a rough road. It went up and down over hills. It went around corners and crooks. And there were many places for robbers to hide, behind boulders, behind brush, maybe in a gully. And they did. And so it was very much advised that you don't travel down this road by yourself. If you need to go from Jerusalem to Jericho, go in a group. Go with protection. However, this man was alone. It might have been just simply a foolish idea to travel that way, thinking, well, nothing's going to hurt me. I'm indestructible. I'm untouchable. And many times we think that same way. We see signs of caution, but we ignore them. How many of you, when you buy an appliance, actually read the instruction booklet on all that part that has all the caution notes on it? Do you always read that? Probably not. Because you know. You think you know what needs to, what's going to hurt you. Well, That may be a reason that he went. He just went anyway, just to disregard all those warnings. It could have been that he went that way because he had a sick or dying relative in Jericho, and he had to get there, and he was going to take a risk to get there. Or maybe he was there on business. His boss told him to go. Either go to Jericho or you're fired. Anyway, he was there by himself. Not a smart thing to do. And as a result, he was jumped. He was attacked. But it wasn't his fault. Again, the blame is put on the robbers. So the man is attacked and he's beaten half to death. He's robbed. Coming up the road is a priest. The priest is hope for this man. Surely this priest will stop and help the man. And as the listeners are listening to Jesus, they expect that priest to stop and help because he's a holy man. He's a man of God. Isn't that what he's there for, to offer help? But the priest walks by on the other side. Now for the priest, there probably was several things going on in his head. Maybe this is a trap, because I'm sure the priest knows too that this road is notorious for robbers. Maybe that man's really not attacked. Maybe he's faking it. And as soon as I get close, he's going to jump up and attack me. Or maybe there's others who are waiting close by to attack me too as I help. And so he walks on the other side. Or maybe another reason that the priest didn't help is because he had duties to perform. And if the man was actually dead, and the priest touched the man, then the priest would become unclean. He would be considered unclean and unfit to do his duties. And so he passes by on the other side. A little while later, the Levite comes along. Levite is also a religious person. A Levite was someone who was similar maybe to a deacon in the church in our day and time. It was somebody who would be responsible for setting up all the things in temple for worship or for sacrifice. They were basically an assistant. And their job was basically one of servitude, of helping, of serving. And so here was a Levite, a person who was called to serve. Surely that person would help too. But no. He walks on the other side of the road, maybe for the same reasons of the priest. Again, if he would touch a dead person, he would be considered unclean and not fit to do his duties in the temple. And then the last one who walks along is the Samaritan. And this is where, I guess, one of the biggest shocks comes along. A Samaritan coming by. The Samaritans and the Jews did not get along very well. They weren't necessarily enemies, but the Jews considered the Samaritans half-breeds. They were not pure, and therefore not purely children of God. They did not recognize the temple in Jerusalem as the holy place. Rather, they built their own temple in the northern part of Israel, and that's where they worshiped. There was much prejudice against the Samaritans. They weren't considered good enough. You know, we tell Aggie jokes a lot of times, and the brunt of the jokes go at the Aggies. You know, make fun of the Aggies. Well, I'm sure many of the jokes in that day and time, that the brunt of the jokes was the Samaritans. They were despised. And as a result, then, they always carried a chip on their shoulder against the Jews. And so here comes the Samaritan down the road to help this man who has been beaten and robbed. You know, that's his opportunity to give him an extra kick and just say, "You deserve this, you fool." But he doesn't do that. Rather, he's the one who has compassion upon the man. He cleans out his wounds with wine and oil, bandages him up. He puts him on his animal, his donkey probably. And even to do that is an inconvenience, because he probably has to shift all the stuff that he has on his animal in order to get the man there. And if it's too much, he left his own stuff behind in order to help the stranger. And it doesn't stop there. He brings him all the way into town. He takes him to an inn. He pays for a room. He spends the night with the man, making sure that he makes it through the night and is cared for. And on the next day, he tells the innkeeper, here is money. And he gives him 2 days' worth of labor. A denarii was worth a day's worth of labor. He gives him 2 denarii and says, here's some money. Take care of him. And if you have more expense, when I come back, I will pay for him. It was a shock to those people. I'm sure many of the people that were listening to Jesus maybe just threw up their hands and left. They did not want to hear something as drastic as that, as a Samaritan helping a Jew, and of going this far out of his way to help. And again, Jesus becomes the teacher, not the one who is being grilled. And he asks that young lawyer. And so, who in the story is the neighbor? And the lawyer could easily figure that out. The one who helped the man who was beaten. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. In a way, Jesus is the ultimate good Samaritan for us. Because we have rejected Jesus. In many ways, every time that we do something wrong as far as sin, we are rejecting God. We are rejecting Christ. We forget about Jesus during the week many times. In the things that we do, in the decisions that we make, we have turned against God so many times. And yet, Jesus is still willing to help us. He's still willing to bring His grace to us, to lead us forward, to pack us on His back, and to bring us home, to care for us, to heal us, to bind our wounds, and to make sure that we are fine and righteous in the eyes of God. He heals us, and He has paid for all of that. He's paid our debt for us. And He calls us then to go and be a neighbor. Go and be like the Good Samaritan. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.